Hello, everyone, and welcome to the VRO. Today's Thursday, December 13th, 2012. I'm your host, Michelle, and my co-host is Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Michelle.
We have a great interview lined up for you guys tonight. Our guest tonight is actor Chris Emerson. He has been on several TV shows like Drake and Josh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and House MD. He's also starred in some of very big video games such as Spider-Man 3, Kane's Wrath, and Pimp My Ride. We are here to talk to him about his recent role as Pierce in Resident Evil 6. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi, how's it going? You guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Look at that. Perfect timing.
Oh, my gosh, that was great.
I wanted to call in the 3 minutes before. He said, call in 3 minutes before. And then I looked at the clock, and I was just finishing up this other interview. So that worked seamlessly, like butter, like we planned it that way.
Oh, perfect. We're good.
All right. Well, let's get right into the questions, Chris.
All right. Let's
first
do it.
Yeah. First one we got, are you a gamer?
I am a huge gamer. I've been a gamer since I was a kid. I mean, I actually go back to having an original NES system even before that, like an Atari system and an old Commodore computer where you spent hours and hours and hours typing in lines and lines of code just to play something silly like tic-tac-toe.
ColecoVision.
And so, yeah, video games have been a huge part of my life all the way, you know, growing up and stuff. And so now to be a part of them, to be able to create characters and voice them and actually watch other people play your campaigns, it's like a nerd dream come true.
That's awesome. What game are you playing currently, or what game do you wish I had time to play right now?
I just revved up Skyrim. And it is as amazing as everybody says it is, and I spent a ridiculous amount of time. I spent about 2 hours on the character creator alone, and I knew I was in trouble.
Yeah, it's pretty detailed. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I
was like, oh, man, I spent 2 hours creating my perfect character. What am I going to do with my life? My productivity is just going to go down the tubes.
Oh, I lost like a month of my life just to conquer, you know, the main quest. So it's like, oh, my goodness. Not to mention all the side quests I did not do. So what got you started doing the voiceovers in video games?
Well, specific to video games, it's kind of been a natural evolution having a voiceover career and also being an actor. I am an actor sort of first and foremost. I grew up doing theater, and I started my career as an on-camera TV and film actor. And as I ventured more and more into having a voiceover career, I'm sort of one of those types of voiceover artists that are also a voice actor. And so I tend to do video games and animation projects that call for more of an actor than say like a voice announcer or a commercial voice.
Gotcha. About Resident Evil, I'd love to hear maybe what you really have liked about it versus some of your past games that you have done voiceovers, like Kane's Wrath or Spider-Man. What did you really enjoy about Resident Evil versus those games?
I really loved digging into a singular character. It's my first time really having a lead character that has a major storyline throughout the video game. And also, it was my first time with the motion capture technology, the facial motion capture technology. And so to really be able to create a character like a feature film, it was just like being in a feature film. We did a 1 year of production. I had my first session November, December of 2011, my last recording session after doing dozens in November, December of 2012. And then it was still about 8 months before the game came out. And so for me to really sort of give myself, to completely immerse myself in this world, the universe of Resident Evil, the characters, and to be able to form my character, which was also really cool that it was an original character. Piers Niven's isn't a legacy character from other games, and so it was a brand new character being introduced to the series that really gave me the ability to create something new. And that was a lot of fun. That was really cool to be able to dig in and put my signature on it, my stamp on this brand new character.
Oh, Chris, what, you took what, my what? Oh, sorry, Brandon. I was going to tell Chris he took my seventh question. One of my questions was what did you like or dislike about bringing on a new character to such a great franchise? So you really kind of answered that. It's funny that you brought that in because I was going to ask you creating a new character.
It actually relieves a little bit of the pressure too, because not just this series, different series, or even in animation, you have different actors that play these characters that we've come to know, right? That, like, Albert Wesker has had a few different voices. Chris Redfield had a few different actors. And so it kind of relieves the expectation. It relieves the pressure to live up to a certain standard that was maybe created by somebody else or that fans are expecting from you. And so you can kind of just create this very fresh perspective, this new thing, and be like, here, you know, let me introduce you to Piers Niven.
Mm-hmm.
Was that kind of what attracted you to the character of Pierce? Is the fresh start, or was it like, what was it that actually got you into that character?
Pierce was such a fascinating character to me. I was immediately attracted to his honor, his integrity. He's this really, really strong guide. He's kind of he's Jiminy Cricket. He's the conscience and the Sam Gamgee to Chris Redfield's Frodo Baggins, right? Chris Redfield is kind of lost in the wilderness at the beginning of the game, and he is drunk in a bar in something that looks like Eastern Europe, and he's really lost his way. As the hero of our game, Chris Redfield is down in the dumps, and it's Piers Niven that is the only person maybe on the planet that truly still believes in Chris Redfield as the hero of the BSAA, the government agency that is to protect the world from bioterrorism. And so he is just full of honor. He's full of dedication to the mission and to Chris Redfield and to be there for him. And it's just a really great brothers-in-arms story of believing in somebody and integrity and a real hero's quest. And so to get to play that, when I got to read the script and know that we were in for that, I was so excited to take on this role.
Seeing as you seem to know a lot about the Resident Evil world, what kind of research did you prep for playing Pierce?
They actually sat us down the very first day of production. It was an optional pizza party, but when you say pizza party, I go, that's not optional. I'm there. That is mandated,
brother.
and so we had this party where Liam O'Brien, our magnificent voice director and a super talent in his own right, both as director and a voiceover artist, people in the gaming world and animation world know Liam O'Brien, at least his voice for sure. And he sat us all down and gave us this kind of like a PowerPoint presentation about the entire universe from Inception to where we left off in Resident Evil 5, and the players, the corporation, the Umbrella Corporation, and bioterrorism, and Albert Wesker, and Leon Kennedy, and Ada Wong, and so I really got this university level education on the entire Resident Evil universe before we even began production, and that was amazing. That really inspires you and elevates your game.
Yeah, Wesker is nobody to play around with. That guy is
he's a hair gel addicted, evil maniacal man. That one.
Which makes him probably even more like evil because he's got his hair slicked back like the nice, like vain kind of mean guy like Geese in King of Fighters.
That's what I'm saying. Anybody that can take that much hair gel in their hair without suffering from like toxic shock or something, you don't want to mess with that guy.
No, you don't. Was this your first motion capture for a video game? Is this your first one where you actually went in and you had to do the facial expressions and everything?
Where you get all the little dots all over your face and the whole jazz. I mean, it was my first time doing that. I had done some body motion capture work for this animated short film through USC that was part of the George Lucas alumni animation program thing. So I got to do body mocap, but it was my first time putting all those little little dots on your face for about an hour and spirit gum and putting them on your eyelids and in your ear and places that you find them months later. And it was a cool experience. It was so much fun. It's such a fascinating technology to be able to bring facial nuance acting, you know, like on camera acting. Like if I want Piers Niven's to snarl, you know, when he sees Jake for the first time, then you're going to get to see that snarl in the game. And or if I give him a little eye twitch because he's nervous about something, even though he seems otherwise stoic, that little detail is actually going to be in the game. And it's just fascinating. It's fun to play with.
Yeah, we did an interview with Mackenzie Manson, and she did Cortana's motion capture for Halo 4. And she was saying
it
was really cool that you got to, like, you know, express yourself, because usually when you're just voice acting, it's just your voice, but actually being able to express yourself into the game makes it, like, that much more special. And how is that compared to, like, action roles like you did in Buffy and all the other TV shows that you've done?
It takes a great imagination, because I'm standing when you're in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, or you're running away from Bigfoot in my film Eagle Walk, or you're even if you're just sitting across the table in an interrogation interview, like this episode of Cold Case where you're being interviewed, all that's actually happening. You're creating that world. You're either on a set or you're on location, actually living in that world. When you're doing running from zombies and injecting vials of C-virus to create biomechanical hand cannons and stuff like that, you're standing in a voiceover booth. You're standing in a padded room with a microphone, dressed with dots on your face. For motion capture stuff, you're dressed in this weird black sort of unitard thing. It's not more of a unitard. It's more of like if a scuba diver became a ninja, right? They would wear this outfit. And it's going to be the name of my new band, Scuba Diving Ninjas.
Scuba Diving Ninjas.
And we're going to be huge. It's going to be awesome. Thank you, Cleveland. We're Scuba Diving Ninjas. And
what are you going to play? Cop music?
It's going to be total cop music. You know, awesome. But you're having to imagine all that. You know, it's imagining the tennis ball as the T-Rex in Jurassic Park, but times a thousand. Yeah, and so it's all going on in your head, and hopefully you're able to convince yourself so much that you're in this moment at this time, that your voice is expressing that's coming out in your performance and in your facial performance as well for the mocap.
Very cool. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Chris, that I'm going to have to interview you probably every couple of weeks, because it is your voice. Just sitting here listening to the past couple of questions that Brandon asked, I'm like, I'm entranced. I forgot my next question. Your voice is very soothing. It's like, dang, okay.
Hey,
I'm going to interview
hey,
him
know?
A few weeks just to listen to him again.
thank you.
You're welcome. Are you, I bet tonight that, well, tonight, I don't know if you'll see The Hobbit tonight, but the next few days, you'll probably see The Hobbit and Andy's work
yes.
in a whole new light, correct?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'm really looking forward to The Hobbit. And from a total tech geek perspective, I'm really
yeah.
actually looking forward to seeing it in 48 frames. I really want to see this. Like, the first time a full movie has been released in 48 frames per second, and I've heard mixed things, and it's all weird, but I want to see it without the 3D in 48 frames and the full 4K and the whole thing, and I really want to see what that's like. And I have such an admiration for Peter Jackson to take
mm-hmm.
on that risk, because it's a huge risk. It's a crazy thing to embark on, this massive project, and go, we're going to do it in 48 frames, And yeah, so my joke is that because the movies are so long anyway, I'm guessing that because it was shot in 48 frames, the ones that were shot in the movie houses that are projecting it in 48 frames, the movie's twice as long, right? That's how that works? Or is that not how the math works?
I'm not sure that's not right, but I'm seeing it midnight, so we'll see.
Gotcha. Wherever they show it in 48 frames, it's actually 6 hours long.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like, that's the movie. I'm going at midnight. I missed something.
Yep. You'll be out in time for breakfast.
Okay, perfect. Well, Resident Evil, they're really known for, even though it's a zombie and it's fighting and it's shoot 'em up, but it's really also very known for its catchphrases. I don't know if you caught on to that doing it this past year. What was your catchphrase in this, and what was one of your favorite catchphrases from another character?
The one that seems to be thrown back at me on Twitter a lot, because Twitter is ripe with fantastic gaming fans and fans of Resident Evil. I've sort of cultivated this amazing, wonderful, so grateful for this really cool fan base. And the thing that gets to through Twitter, and you get it all over the world. You have these fantastic pockets of fans that pop up all over the world that have a love for the game and that you really sort of tune into, which is really cool. And the one that gets thrown back at me at the most, it's very simple, but apparently I yell it enough in the game that it's become something, is Captain! It's just me yelling Captain all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, Captain! And so there's that. But
any other catchphrases that stand out to you?
Catchphrases that stand out to me.
That were maybe other characters' catchphrases?
Other character catchphrases. Ada Wong stands out to me, and there's this fantastic. She's always ending her sentences with boys because she's always talking to. She's the strong kick ass woman in this this world, and she's always like, see you later, boys. It's like every sentence. I'm gonna jump off this building now, boys. it's great. So maybe that, just whenever Ada Wong, Courtney Taylor, that voices Ada Wong, is magnificent. Whenever she says boys,
that's cool. What stands out to? I'm sure you did some research for the Resident Evil in the past games. What does this one, Resident Evil 6, stand out compared to its predecessors?
In 6, it's the first time that Capcom has really changed the format of the Resident Evil gameplay and the way the stories are told. Resident Evil has been this format where you have the hero character and you have your sidekick, and you play one storyline through, and it's been that way through 5 games. What's really cool about 6 is it's the very first time where you have this multi-story, this multi-spoke storytelling, where you have 3 separate campaigns or an additional 4th one with the Ada Wong campaign, where Leon Kennedy, Jake Mueller, and Chris Redfield all are having individual storylines that crisscross, and at some points all these characters come in contact with each other, and all 3 major campaigns are telling one overall narrative, one grand storyline. And so it adds many layers of depth and story and interaction and relationship dynamics between all these main characters. I think it's one of, if not the very first time, Leon Kennedy and Chris Redfield have ever met each other in a game, like actually on screen together. And
I think it is.
Yeah, it is. And so that was very unique to 6. It was a departure from the usual structure, and it's pretty cool. It's really fun to be a part of.
Cool.
It's also a lot easier to play. Other Resident Evil games are so known for being really hard to play, like as in like motion for your character to move here and there. And this one seems it's a lot better.
It definitely feels friendlier. For me.
Yeah, anybody that's ever played a Resident Evil game knows what it's like to not have enough ammunition.
Exactly.
Right.
What is that? I don't think there are any other games. Why do you have to like give me 5 bullets to take on the next 30 minutes of zombies? What am I gonna do?
Well, Ninja Gaiden does that too. So
there you go. It's like, just give me ammunition here. Give me all the bullets I need. Let's do this.
I should say I want unlimited
like
ammunition. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know? Is it true that you are a licensed private rated helicopter pilot and a P3 rated paraglider and hang glider?
No, it's not true at all. I just use it to get through.
Dang. dang. That was good.
No, it is true. Those are true things.
That's great. So you really enjoy that. Oh my gosh.
I do.
I bet you the video games help with the controls for the helicopter too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've actually booked jobs. I've booked acting jobs and been considered for characters specifically because of the helicopter experience. I actually booked a recurring role on Jerry Bruckheimer series called Miami Medical, and it was all about the trauma unit of this Miami hospital. And so there was going to be a helicopter pilot often because trauma stuff and flying to and from scenes. And so the character called for somebody with helicopter experience. And
very cool.
And so I was specifically considered for that role because of the helicopter experience, which is always fun. You know, when that crisscrosses like that, that's always cool.
Yeah, Chris, I know we're getting close to our time here with you, but I could talk to you all day. But do you have any future projects you would like to share with our fans that you're working on or anything you can talk about?
Yeah, 2013 is going to be fun. 2013 is going to be awesome, and I hope everybody comes along for the ride with me. I will be tweeting the hell out of 2013, which is I got a horror movie that I'm going to be the lead character in called Antioch at the beginning of the year. We're filming that late January, early February, and a real cool twisted sort of military operations unknowingly open the gates of hell and don't know how to close them storyline in the middle of the desert. And then later in the year, really exciting, I'm going to Biloxi, Mississippi to film this psychological thriller with Eric Roberts, the fantastic Eric Roberts, and Juliet Landau, who was Drusilla on Buffy the Vampire Slayer for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And we are filming this movie called Artists Die Best in Black. And it's kind of a dark, twisted, say Usual Suspects kind of movie set in the art world, and I'm really looking forward to that. So that'll be later in the year.
Very cool. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, and hopefully there's some video game stuff on the horizon too, but that's stuff that I can't talk about yet because everybody makes you sign these non-disclosure agreement things. And if I start to talk about it, there's going to be a sniper bullet that's just going to come through here and take me out. They're just waiting.
Yeah. No, we don't want that to happen right now. So, did we lose Brandon?
Brandon? Where did Brandon go?
And he has our closing. That's okay.
Alone at last.
Oh, wow. Now I'm very excited. Your voice is just...
See, you know...
You
purposely hit the dump button on Brandon, didn't you?
I did. I cut out his little mic.
Brandon, we thought we lost you. We were looking between the seats.
Yeah.
And we were looking underneath the.
I can hear you guys, and I was like, guys, I'm here.
No, you're not.
I don't know what happened. Exactly. Okay. Well. We were wondering, and you mentioned it earlier about your Twitter account. Is there any other social media accounts or websites that fans can get the latest updates on your future projects?
Please. I mean, yeah, for anybody listening that wants to check out some fun stuff, then I'm all over Twitter. I'm a big Twitter user. I love it. So it's at Planet Emerson is my Twitter. PlanetEmerson. Planet Emerson. I tend to be Planet Emerson. It's kind of my brand, I guess you could say. It's on anything. So if you want to find me anywhere, just find Planet Emerson. I'm on Facebook with my fan page. I got a blog that I do, the Planet Emerson blog, that's connected to my official website. And I'm an Instagram hound with my stuff. And what else am I doing? I even still had a MySpace page up until weeks ago.
That's back in the day,
yeah.
On that day.
Yeah, I was thinking about just recreating GeoCities just for the hell of it. For anybody that remembered GeoCities, or Friendster, you know, you guys want a Friendster later?
Well, we could do that.
Or ICQ. Is ICQ still around? Maybe we could do ICQ.
Hey, Amy had a hard enough time getting me on Facebook because I didn't want to go on it. So.
He just got on like a month ago. It's crazy.
I did. I can't stand it.
But I did notice on your on Planet Emerson that you have all your social tags too at the bottom, correct?
I do, yeah, on my website. Yeah. And I think, too, because I do all my own website stuff, I think I've kind of – it's one of those things where once you start to get a bug up your butt about something, it's like I have to do it. And I think the latest project is I'm actually going to redo my website here pretty soon. So I – and as I do that, there might be a temp page up, but it'll have the social links for sure. But I think it might – I think soon Planet Emerson might have a – closed for construction page for maybe a week or two, but nonetheless, Planet Emerson, if you go there, regardless of what's up, what will be definitely up in addition to a countdown or something like that will be my social links for sure.
All right, so Unicron Emerson, right?
What is it?
I said Unicron Emerson.
Unicron Emerson.
Transform.
I like the sound of that. Unicron, Optimus Emerson.
Optimus Emerson. All right, well, we're at our last question, and we asked this of all of our guests, is if you wouldn't mind doing a soundbite for us.
Doing a soundbite? Sure, yeah. What should we do?
Just say, I'm Chris Emerson from Resident Evil 6. You're listening to the VRO, you know, just basically that. Put your own little twist on it, however you want to do it. But, yeah, whenever you're ready, go ahead and do it.
All right, sounds good. I'm Christopher Emerson, the voice of Piers Niven's on Resident Evil 6, and you are listening to VRO. And no matter where you go, no matter where you hide, they'll be there.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Great. Thank you, Chris, so much.
Yes, thank you so much. It was awesome having
you on. Such a pleasure to talk to you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome. Have a great
afternoon.
Such a pleasure.
Thanks, you guys. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you love movies, music, books, television? You do? Then come on over to the VRO on Blog Talk Radio. We have shows for all your obsessions. Vampires, we've got them. The latest blockbuster movies, they're right here. Bands and books, music and fiction, it's all at the VRO. What are you waiting for? Log on to the VRO today. www.thevro.com.